Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Shabbos Daf Nun Hei. On the second line from the top, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Hava Yosef Kamei De Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda was sitting in front of Shmuel. This woman came along, Kotsofcha Kamei. She cried out in front of him, in front of Shmuel, about some injustice that was done to her. And Shmuel wasn't paying attention to her. Armalei's Rabbi Yehuda turned to his Rabbi Shmuel and he said, Loi sabar loi mar. Do you not hold of the pasuk which says, Oitem oznoi mizakas dal, one who closes his ears from listening to the outcry of a dal, of a pauper, gam hu yikra veloi. He too, when he calls out in heaven, they won't respond to him. So why are you ignoring her? Why aren't you paying attention to her? Amalei, so Shmuel responded, Shinna, sharp one, Reishach Bikriri, your head, meaning your teacher, I, Shmuel, who's your Rebbe, Bikriri, he won't be scalded in hot water. Bikriri, he'll be merely given cold water. He won't suffer as a consequence of ignoring this woman. Why? Reisha de Reishach, the head of your head, meaning my Rebbe, my teacher, Bichamimi, he will be scalded in hot water. What do you mean to say? I'm not responsible. You know who is responsible? Take a look. Ha Yosef Mar Ukva Ar Bezdin. Mar Ukva, who is the head of the court, head of the Bezdin, he is responsible. He's the one who must ensure that justice occurs here, and he is the one that will take responsibility if he should ignore the outcries of this woman. I'm not responsible. I'm not the head of the Bezdin. It is not within my ability to be shayfet. It is only in the hands of Marukva. The Chassiv, as it says, Beis David, Koyamar Hashem. Hashem is speaking to Beis David. Dinu labaker mishpat. You should go ahead and conduct your mishpat in the morning. Batzilu gozel mead oishek. And save the gozel, the one who was robbed from the oppressor. Penteitze keish chamasi ubara. Lest my wrath, my anger go out like a burn like a fire. Ve'ein mechabe, nobody will be able to put it out. Me'nei roya malaleichem, as a result of your wicked deeds, the wickedness of your actions. So the point is that Hashem only punishes those that it is within their ability to be shayfet, to judge and to rule and to right all injustices. So complain to Mar Ukva, don't complain to me. Continues the Gemara, Amar Lei Rav Zeira, the Rav Simon, Lochinu Mar, why don't you offer reproof, Lahani de Reish Kalusa, to those in the Reish Kalusa, the head of the exile, why don't you reproof them for their misdeeds? Why don't you give them to Chacha? Amar Lei, Sir Rav Simon responded, Leibikabli Binayu, they won't listen to me, they won't heed to my words, to my Teichacha. So what's the point? Amar Lei, Sir Zera told him, even so, Afagav Loi Mikabli, even if they don't accept, Loi Chinumar, you should go ahead and give them Teichacha, protest, reprove them. Why is that? The Omar of Achabar Chanina. It is so important, this is Achrayt's responsibility, to go ahead and to offer Teichacha, to protest when seeing something improper. It's so important. It's so crucial. Rav Acha bar Chanina told us as follows: Me'olam lo yatesa mida toiva mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It never happened that a mida toiva, a positive gzeira decree, was uttered by Hashem, v'chazba, and he should go back on his word. He should retreat from it. It never happened when Hashem makes a gzeira toiva, he doesn't go back on his word. Never happened that a midah tovah came out from Hashem's mouth v'chazaba l'ra, except chutz midavar zeh, except something which is related to this concept of the achrayis, the responsibility to be moichiach, to offer teichacha to another person who's doing a misdeed, as you will see from the following story. The chsiv, as it says in the pasuk, v'yoyimar Hashem elav, Hashem told Gavriel, avoyer b'seichir, go ahead and pass through the city, Besech Yerushalayim, V'Yisveisa Tov, and go ahead and draw a letter Tov, Al Mitzchos Hanoshim, on the foreheads of the people, Hanenochim, V'Hanenochim, who groan and moan. Hanenochim means to sigh, V'Hanenochim who are moaning. Al Kol HaTayevos Hanasos B'Secha. These are the tzaddikim who are so upset about all the Tayevos, the abominations, the abeiros that are being done in Yerushalayim. So what's the point of making a letter Tov on their forehead? It is a sign that they're meant to be spared from the gzera, from the retribution, from the Einish. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gavriel, Lech, go ahead, Rishoyim, mark down al mitzchon shel tzaddikim, on the foreheads of these tzaddikim, Tov shel diyoy, the letter Tov with using ink. Shelo yishlet b'hem malach ha'chavala. So the angels of destruction should not be shilat on them, should not have an effect on them. So the tzaddikim are not meant to be included in the einish, in the gzera, in the destruction. Va'amitzchom shel rishayim. However, on the foreheads of the rishayim, you should go ahead and draw a tav, a letter tav, shel dam. Draw it using blood. What is the siman? What is that sign? Kedei sheyishlatu b'hem malach ha'chavala. So the malach ha'chavala, the angel of destruction, should go ahead and affect them and give them an einish. So Hashem differentiated, made a distinction between the tzaddikim who had a tuff of ink and was indicative of their special status, that were meant to be spared from the malach ha'chavola that was going to offer einish to the Rishayim in Yerushalayim. Amra b'dis ha'din l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The midas ha'din, the attribute of strict justice in Shemayim, complained to Hashem as follows: Ribbono shel Olam, ma nishtanu elu me'elu? Why are the tzaddikim spirit? What is the difference between the tzaddikim and the rishayim? Amar lo, so Hashem said, very simple: Halolu tzaddikim gemurim, v'halolu rishayim gemurim. These are tzaddikim gemurim, and these are complete rishayim. What do you mean? What is the difference between these two? Amar lo funav, Ribbono shel Olam. So the midas ha'din responded to Hashem, said, Ribbono shel Olam, although they personally, the tzaddikim personally were okay, they didn't do any averis, nevertheless, they're still held accountable. They're responsible for the averis of the rishayim. Why? Haya b'yodam limchais. They had the ability to be meicha, to protest. V'loy michu, and they refrained from doing so. So they're also to be held accountable for the averis of the rishayim. Amar Las, Hashem responded to the midas ha'din, it is known and revealed to me. It is gully, it is revealed. Yadua and known, lefanai, before me, that if they would have been meicha, lo yikabu mehem, the Rishayim would not have received the teichacha. They would not have altered their behavior or changed their ways. So we can't hold the tzaddikim accountable for it. Continues the Gemara, Amr lefana. So the midas ha'din responded again, Ribbono shel Olam, im lefanecha goli. Fine, if to you this is revealed, you know the future, past, present, future, to you is all one. However, lahem migoli, was this revealed to the tzaddikim? How are they supposed to know what the consequence of their techacha would be? Perhaps the techacha can yield good results. So why in their minds did they go ahead and refrain, give up from giving techacha? Yes, they are to be held accountable for the averis of Rishayim. Now, Tosfos points out, the Gemara means when is a suffix. There's an uncertainty whether the person will be makabel the teichacha. Then, certainly, the midas ha'din had a solid claim. You're meant to offer teichacha. Although, in reality, the act would have taken place regardless. As Hashem said, I know it would have happened. They wouldn't have prevented any averis from taking place. But that's not their business. We're not meant to reckon with the future. Our achrayus, our responsibility, our obligation rests in the present moment. The Torah tells us, "Heichayach teichayach samisecha." You meant to offer teichacha, to protest, to direct your friend to act properly. You meant to keep that obligation, fulfill that chiv, that mitzvah. And if one neglects to do so, he is responsible for the outcome, even though it would happen regardless. But he's an accomplice. He takes part. He has an achrayus in the avera, since he did not attempt to prevent it. So Tosfos says this is only in a case where it's uncertain whether the other person will accept. But Tosfos says in a case where vaday lo mikavli, if we know for sure, for certainty, that it will not be accepted, that the reproof to Teichacha will not have any effect whatsoever, says Tosfos, better don't offer any Teichacha. Okay, so the Midas HaDin complained and said, well, they had no way of knowing whether or not their Teichacha will be effective. So you can't absolve them of their obligation, of their responsibility, and they're held accountable for the chet of the Rishayim. You can't spare them. Let's not make a distinction between Tzadikim and Rishayim, and Adi Hashem accepted this argument, as it says, behind the Chassid, as it says in the Pasuk. Zokein, Bochor, Psula. So the Pasuk begins describing the ordinary people, the Zokein, the Bochor, the elder, the young man, the Psula, the Taf, the Chom, the Nashem, and the women, Targul Mashkas. Kill them, destroy them. Val kol ish asher olav hatav al tigoshu. However, to those who have the tav, meaning the tzaddikim, don't get close to them. So other ones, tahargul mashkes, kill them to destruction, but spare the tzaddikim. But then the pasuk concludes, continues by saying, u'mimigdosh aitochelu, and this indicates that the Gemara will say this is referring to the tzaddikim, that they were also included subsequently in the gzeira to suffer Einish together with the Rishayim. So you see that Hashem accepted this argument. And it says, Uksiv, Vayochelu ba'anoshim askeinim, asher ofnei abayis. So the Einish commenced ba'anoshim askeinim, the Malachim Chavala began applying their punishment, their retribution, with who? Ba'anoshim askeinim. By these elders, by the Chachamim asher ofnei abayis, that were in front of the Beis Hamikdash. So once again, we see that Hashem accepted the argument of the Midas HaDin. Tanu Rav Yosef al tikri mikdashi. The pasuk says mikdashi tochelu. Instead of reading mikdashi, the drash is meant to go as follows: Elo elo mikudashai. The pasuk is saying mikudashai tochelu, referring to the people, my holy ones, my tzaddikim, elu bnei adam shekimu satoru kula mi alef atof, referring to the tzaddikim who fulfilled, who makayim the Torah entirely from the beginning to the end, from the al to the atof. So indeed, Hashem changed the gzeira. He instructed the malachim chavala, the angels of destruction, to affect tzaddikim as well, not only affect them as well, but begin with them. They carry the prime responsibility for what happened, for the misdeeds of the Rishayim, as a result of the fact that they didn't bother to offer them reproof and Teichacha. So let's just go back for a second to the discussion between Rav Zera, who asked Rav Simon, why don't you offer Teichacha to the Reish Galusa, to the Bay Reish Galusa, to those in the Reish Galusa's home? And he said, well, what's the point? I know it won't be effective anyway. And he told him, no, nevertheless, go ahead and push, try, make an attempt, perhaps you'll be successful. And as Tosfos points out, he was uncertain, he wasn't sure 100% that they won't accept it. Therefore, you meant to proceed and at least try your best. And as the Gemara proceeded with the memra, the teaching from Rav Acha bar Chanina, that this proves how important it is, how crucial it is, how great this responsibility of Teichacha is, that we see in the story with Gabriel, with the Tzaddikim in Yerushalayim, that they were held accountable and responsible for the Chatoim of Yerushalayim on account of the fact that they didn't offer Teichacha. So here too, regarding the story of Reish Galusa, the Gemara is pointing out how important it is that you're meant to go ahead and offer Teichacha even in an uncertain situation. Okay, getting back to Gabriel, to the Tzaddikim in Yerushalayim, the Gemara continues, Miyad, immediately, Vayine shisha anoshim, boim, mederach shar elyon. So six people, this is six forms of malachim, malachim chavala, they were coming from derech shar elyon, from the way of the upper gate, asher mofnot zafoina, which was leading to north, Vayish klima potza biyoda, each one has this weapon of scattering, of destruction, some sort of weapon, some sort of kli. V'ish echad b'soichem l'vush abadim, And there was one between them who was Lavush Abadim, who was actually the Malach Gavriel, who was enclosed in Badim and sheets. V'keses ha-soifer b'masav. He's wearing these what appeared to be linen. V'keses ha-soifer b'masav. And this Lavush Abadim, this Malach who was wearing these linen sheets, he was holding this. He had this keses ha-soifer, this inkwell, b'masav ties to his waist, to his lions. Vayoyavoyu vayamdu etz mizbech anachoshes. So they all came and they stood up near the mizbech anachoshes. Says one second, Mizbech HaNechoshes in the Beis HaMikdash. Mizbech HaNechoshes, Miyava, was there a Mizbeach made of copper? We know that Shlomo HaMelech, he replaced the Mizbeach HaNechoshes that was built in the Midbar. He replaced this with a Mizbeach which was built, Mizbeach Avonim. So why does the Pasuk here reference the Mizbeach HaNechoshes? Says the Gemara, the pasuk here is referring to something. We're meant to make a drasha here. Omer l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu instructed these angels of destruction. Haschilu, begin your einish, begin your retribution, begin the destruction. You should go ahead and begin the einish. Apply it firstly. It should begin from the Leviim that go ahead and say shira. In front of you, by the makrova of the karbanis, by the mizbeach, and they offer shira song using instruments of nechashes of copper. So we see that indeed the tzaddikim, the leviim, the mekudashai, the most holy ones, they are the ones who suffered first. The gzeir was applied to them before everybody else. Says the Gemara, man ninu shisha anoshim. Who are these six anoshim that the pasuk is referring to? Omer Chizda Ketzef Af V'chema, various forms of anger, Mashkas destruction, Marshber and breakage, Machala and annihilation. So various forms of angels of destruction who came to perform this Gzera, to carry out the Gzera and the Einish on the Jews in Yerushalayim. Continues the Gemara. So we had the letter Tuf that was drawn on the forehead of the tzaddikim, of the rishayim. Why specifically this letter Tav? What does it symbolize? Umayishna Tav, Amarav. Tav denotes the word Tichye, live, and that's for the tzaddikim. Tav can also denote Thomas, and this was on the rishayim. So initially the Tav on the tzaddikim was a symbol of life, Tichye. The one drawn on the rishayim symbolizes death, Thomas. Ushmuel Amar, I have another interpretation. The Tav is referring to Tamos Chosavis. The merits of our forefathers, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, already became exhausted. Was used up. Tama. It expired. And this is referring to the Rishayim, who don't carry on the ways, the righteous ways of our forefathers. And indeed, the Chosavis does not apply to them. They have no. They can't plug in. They can't check in. They can't take advantage of the schus avos. Rav Yochanan Amar. So this is regarding the Rishayim. The Tav refers to the concept of tamos schus avos. For them, the schus of the avos already terminated. What about the Tav on the tzaddikim? Says Rav Yochanan, a tochon schus avos. Indeed, the grace, the schus avos will grace them, will endow them. They will be able to receive a schus on account of the avos. Veresh Lakish Amar, I have a different suggestion. The Tav is Soif Chaysama Shakadosh Baruch Hu. It was the last letter in the seal of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, in the signature of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Damar Chanina, Chaysama Shakadosh Baruch Hu Emes. Hashem's seal is what? Is the word Emes. As Rashi explains, Chaysama Shakadosh Baruch Hu Emes, that the Aleph and the Mem and the Saf are the first, middle, and last of the Aleph base to symbolize the omnipresence and eternity of Hashem. Hashem is the Rishain. Hashem is the Achrain. And in the present as well, past, present, and future, all wrapped in one. That is the word Emes. So the point of placing on the forehead of the tzaddikim, the Rishayim, is meant to symbolize the truth of Hashem, the integrity, the emeskite of Hashem with regard to schar, offering reward, due reward when one deserves it. Hashem is truthful in His granting of reward regarding the tzaddikim and regarding the Rishayim. Hashem as well is honest and truthful and is emes when it comes to granting einish, retribution to Rishayim as well. So the saf here denotes the word emes. Another pshat, Rabbi Shmuel Rachmeni says, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Rachmeni, Eilu b'nei Adam, shekimus ha-tera kula, me'alaf atav. The taf here symbolizes the fact that the person, this is the taf on the tzaddik's forehead, the tzaddik kept, he complied with the entire Torah. Shekimus ha-tera kula, me'alaf atav. So the Tav here symbolizes the last letter of Torah. He came from the beginning, he journeyed throughout the Torah all the way to the end. Therefore, he's meant to be spared. Likewise, the Tav on the Rishayim symbolizes just the opposite. He transgressed the entire Torah from beginning to end. Continues the Gemara, we made reference to Tamas Chus Avis. The Chus of our Avis, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, has already expired, has already been exhausted. And so this points out, this only refers to the Rishayim, who don't carry on the ways of our Avos. Says the Gemara, Mei Masai Tamas Chus Avos. When did that take place? What was the point in history where the Chus Avos cannot be applied anymore to the Rishayim? Amar Rav Mei Mois Hesheya Ben Be'eri. From the time of Hesheya Ben Be'eri, Shenemar, Agale Es Navlusa, I will reveal their disgrace, her disgrace, La'eni Me'aveh, the eyes of her lovers, V'ishlei Tzelana Miyadi. And nobody will save her from my hands. Apparently, even the Schus Avos don't have the ability to save her. Ushmul Amim Mechazoil. From the days of Chazol, Shenemar, V'chazol Melech Aram, Locha Atzes Yisrael, you oppressed Kal Yisrael, Kol Yimei Yoyochos, Uksiv, and it says, V'yochan Hashem Oysam, Hashem displayed grace towards Kal Yisrael, V'yirachmim, had mercy on them, V'yifen Aleihem, and turned to them, why Leman Brisoi, Es Avraham, Es Yitzchak V'Yaakov, on account of the covenant, the bris, with their avos, Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, lo yovash chisam, and he did not have a desire to destroy them, v'lo yishlichem al panav ad ata, and did not cast them away from before him up until now. As Rashi points out, so this only applies, this chus avos can only be applied ad ata until this point. But apparently, from here on in, going forward, this Chus Avos will not have the same effect. Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi Amar, Mimei Eliyahu, from the days of Eliyahu. Shenemar, as it says, Vayiv Aleis HaMincha, when it came time for the Hakrav of the Mincha, Vayigash Eliyahu Hanavi Vayomer. Eliyahu Hanavi came forward and he said, Vayomer, Hashem Elokei Avraham Yitzchak Yisrael, Hayom Yivada, let it be known today, Ki atel kim Yisrael, that you are Hashem in Kol Yisrael. Vani avdecha, I am your servant. Ubid barcha asisi es kol advar me'ele. And I was heeding your words, I was listening to your words by doing all these things. So the pasuk here is saying, Hashem, let it be known that you remember the bris, the covenant, the bris between yourself and Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. And the pasuk stresses the word havayoyim yivada. Today, let it be known. Apparently, it's only up until today, not going forward. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mechizkiyo, Shenemar. It says in the pasuk of Yeshaya, Lemar be Hamisra, for the increase of sovereignty, L'sholom in Kates, and for endless peace, Al Kisei David on the throne of David, V'Malmachta in his kingdom, L'hach Eisa, to establish her, U'lesada b'mishpat, and to support it with Mishpat, with justice, with stock and righteousness, me'at v'adayim forever. Why? Why should this take place? Kinas Hashem tzvokos tasazos. This should be as a result of Hashem's kinah, Hashem's wrath, anger towards the enemies of Yerushalayim. When Hashem comes in the defense of Yerushalayim and the Kisei David. So it's not as a result of schus avos, but rather the kinas Hashem tzvokos will accomplish this. So apparently, it's because the Schus Avos has already terminated. So in summary, the Gemara taught us the tremendous responsibility, achrayus, of teichacha, one who had who is in the position, the ability, to offer teichacha reproof to those that do averis. They're responsible to do so. As the Gemara pointed out, even if there's an uncertainty as to whether they'll accept and heed the reproof, as the Gemara illustrated with the story of Yerushalayim. So first we began with the story of the woman who came to Shmuel, who ignored her, and he said, it is not within my ability to pass judgment here. It is the job of the Ukmar, Ukva, who is the Av Bezin, as the Pasuk says, Beis David, are meant to pass judgment. It's within their ability to be shayfet, to right the wrongs, to judge the oppressors, and therefore they're held responsible. The Gemara proceeded with the story of the Einish, even to the Tzaddikim in Yerushalayim, on account of their failure to offer Teichacha to the Rishayim. The Gemara proceeded with the letter Tav, and what is the significance of it? We have several Pshatim. Either Tav denotes Tichya or Tammuz, it denotes Tammuz Chosaveis or Tachens Chosaveis. Tav can mean the last letter in the Chosim Hashem, which is Emes, or Tav symbolizes the entire Torah, either keeping the entire Torah from beginning to end, or being over, transgressing the Torah from beginning to end. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Ami, Ein Misa B'Leichet, no such thing as death without sin. Meaning, the reason why a person dies is a result of his averis. Evidently, everybody does some form of misdeed, as the Pasuk says, Pasuk in Te'eles, Ki Odom Ein Tzadik Ba'aretz, Asher Ya'aseh Tov Lo Yechta. We all do something wrong, we're human beings, and the Misa comes as a result of that. Ve'in Yisurim B'lo Yavayim, similarly regarding Yisurim, tragedies, they only come as a result of Averis. So Yisurim afflictions are the result of Avin. Ein Misa B'lo Yechet, how do I know that Misa comes as a result of Chet? Tichsir HaNefesh HaChetas, Hi Thomas. A Nefesh that sins, it dies. Ben lo yisa b'avayna av, a son is not responsible for the sins of his father. V'av lo yisa b'avayna ben, a father is not responsible for the averis of his son. Tzidgas ha-tzadik, olav tia, the righteousness of a tzadik descends on him. Virshus ha-rasha, olav tia, the wickedness of the rasha affects him. Everybody is responsible for what they did. Ein yisurim b'lo yavayn, where do we find that? Tichsiv v'fakanti. The shevet pisha, visit with a shevet with a rod. There are various meaning. I will offer einish to on account of the averis of the goyim avoinim, and as a result of the avoinim of their sins, I will visit them with the goyim with afflictions. We see clearly that yisurim afflictions and misfortunes only come as a result of averis. The shevet only comes as a result of pishum of their averis, and then the goyim comes to address their averis. Ubin Goyim, I will address their averis. So Rami maintains that there's a direct link between Chet and Misa, and between Avoin and Yisurim. Says more, is that so? Is it really inevitable that Misa can only be as a result of a Chet? Meisvei, we learned in the Brice. Omru Malach HaShos Magash Baruch Hu. Ribbon Nishaloi, the master of the world. Why have you penalized Adam Rishon with death? Why did you bring about Misa to Adam Rishon? Armalam, very simple. Mitzvah kalitzi visivav arleo. I commanded him to do a very easy mitzvah, to refrain from eating the Eitz Hadas. And he was over and he transgressed on my commandment. So what was the back and forth? What was the dialogue here? Explain the Mefarshim as follows. The Malachim asked Hashem, it was merely one Avera, it was his first time doing an Avera. Generally, you're not so strict and don't come down so severely on a person who does one Avera, his first time. Hashem responds by saying, yeah, ordinarily speaking, if a person does an Avera, okay. But Adam HaRishon, this wasn't merely a private, personal matter. Adam HaRishon was the first of humanity. He was the father of mankind. As in Farshim say, within Adam HaRishon were included all the future generations. All of humanity was included in Adam HaRishon. He was the source of everything. So when he did an aver, even a very mitzvah kala, a seemingly not so severe avera, nevertheless, he affected all of humanity. The whole world was affected, was impacted by his avera. It's no simple matter. And indeed, he suffers this very severe retribution of bringing Misa upon himself and all of mankind. Continues the Gemara. Amru lo, so the Malachim further, they asked Hashem further. Falei Moshe ba'aron, shekimu kol ha'Torah kula. We find that Moshe ba'aron, even though they were makayim the entire Torah, umeisu, nevertheless they too died. Why is that? Why did they deserve to die? Amru lehem, Hashem said, mikra echad the tzaddik losh la'tovu goyim. That one event befalls the tzaddik and the rasha, meaning once the concept of misa of death was brought about on the world, nobody is spared, whether a tzaddik or a rasha. Indeed, as a result of their maisim, of their deeds, they would not have been deserving of misa. But this is something applied to all of humanity equally. So in any case, we see from this brisa that misa can befall a person even when there's no chait that is causing it, as in the case of Moshe Aaron. So this seems to be a contradiction on Rav Ami, who maintained otherwise. Says the Gemara, who the Omar ki haitana? Rav Ami is following a different opinion, a different Tana, who indeed maintains that Misa comes only as a result of Chet. The sign is really in the Braisa. Rav Shimon lo zoymer, af Moshe ba'aron b'cheta meisu. They too died as a result of their Chet. Shenemar, ya lo yaman to be as a result of your lack of emunah in me. This was by the story of the Meimi Riva, the water from the rock. Ho ha'aman to be. Apparently, we learn from this pasuk that is only as a result of the lack of emunah, but otherwise, if you would have fully had faith in me and expressed that, demonstrated that, the front of Klal Yisrael, adayin lo yigiyaz manchem lipatu min olam, then you wouldn't have died. Your time to depart the world would not have arrived. So apparently, even the misa Moshe Rabbeinu came as a consequence of a chet. And indeed, Rav Ami follows this opinion. Says Rav Meisri, I'll ask another kasha from the Braisa, which says as follows. Four individuals died only as a result of the etzia shel nachash, the advice of the serpent of the nachash, who advised Chava to take from the Eitz Hadas, meaning that these people were so righteous, were such tzaddikim of high stature, that they did not deserve to die. The only reason why they died, they had misa, was as a result of the general knas, the general onus of misa, which was applied to the entire world, to entire humanity, as a result of the chait of the Eitz Hadas that came about through the Nachash. Ve'ilu, and who are these four individuals? Binyamin, the son of Yaakov, V'amram, the father of Moshe, V'yishai, V'david, V'kilav ben David. V'kula, Gemara, all of them are a tradition. We know this from tradition. Levar, except for one of them, that we know from a pasuk. Levar, V'yishai, V'david, the Mefarsh Bikra, that is clear from a pasuk, the Sivet says. The pasuk says, V'esamasa, so this individual called Amasa, some Avshalom appointed him Tachas Yoyev, in place of Yoyev Saratzava. Va'amasa ben Ish, so Amasa, who was appointed as the general of the Tzava, he was the son of a person, Ben Ish Ushmoy, he was the son of the person named Yisra HaYisraeli. Now this Yisra HaYisraeli married Asher Bo El Avigail. He married Abigail, who was the daughter, Bas Nachash, the daughter of Nachash, Achos Tzeruiah. So Abigail was the daughter of Nachash, the sister of Tzeruiah, and Tzeruiah was the mother of Yoav Em Yoav. The question is follows: is Abigail the daughter of Nachash? V'chi Bas Nachash Havoi? V'aloi, we know that she was the daughter of Yisha, Bas Yisha Havoi. Tachsiv, as it says, describing the sons of Yishai. It says V'achisein, they're sisters, meaning the Yishai's sons, their sisters were Tzruya of Abigail. So we see that Tzruya and Abigail were the sisters of the sons of Yishai, meaning that Abigail was a daughter of Yishai. So she was Bas Yishai, not Bas Nochash. Elo meant the darshan as follows: Bas bi mishemes beyatish Nochash. Indeed, she was the daughter of Yishai. Why is the Torah referred to Yishai as Nochash? She was the daughter of one who died, and as a result of the etzia shel nachash, the advice of the nachash, meaning He had no reason to die other than the fact that Misa descended upon mankind as a result of the chait of the Eitz Hadas. Okay, so the Braisa tells us that there were four individuals who experienced Misa simply as a result of the Gzeira of Misa, which was applied to all humanity. It was not as a result, as a consequence of their Averis. Says Zumara, let's analyze this price. Whose opinion is reflected in this price? Mani, who's the author of this price? Now, let's backtrack for a moment. We began the sugi with Rav Ami telling us that Misa can only come as a result of Chet. The Gemara asked from Akasha what the Malachi Asher is discussing with Hashem. And in that Braisa is contained the fact that Moshe Ba'arin experienced Misa not as a result of their own Averis, simply as a result of the Mikra Echa, this uniform event which is meant to apply to all of humanity. And that seems to be a contradiction of Ami's assertion that Misa only comes as a result of Chet. The Gemara proceeded and said, well, we have another Ramda Amar. We have Shimon Lazo tells us that indeed the Misa that Moshe Ba'arin experienced was indeed as a result of their Chet. And then we proceeded to our third Braisa, which tells us that four individuals was such a high level that their Misa was only as a result of the general phenomenon of Misa of death applied to mankind. Now, who is the author of this Braisa? Whose opinion is reflected in this Braisa? Is it the Tana who authored the first Braisa of Malachi Asharis, or is it Rav Shimon Lazar from the second Braisa? Says Ramani, who's the author of this Braisa? Ilay Matana de Malachi Asharis. This Braisa is compatible with that Tana. It can't be. Va'ikam Moshe Ba'aron. Why did this Braisa only list four individuals that died with a clean slate, with a clean record, only as a result as a consequence of the Et Yishal Nachash? We have another two, Moshe Ba'aron, who also experienced death simply due to the Et Yishal Nachash. So apparently, this Braisa, the last Braisa, is not compatible with the first Braisa. El Alava must be Yerushim Malazari, that this Braisa reflects the sheet of Yerushim Malazari, who maintains that Moshe and Aaron don't belong on this list, since their Misa was a result of their Chet. So apparently even Rishon Malazo agrees that there is conceivably such a concept of Shema Mino. We see from there Yesh Misa B'Li Chet, Yesh Shem B'Li Yavim. We see that Rishon Malazo maintains that theoretically speaking there can be such a thing as a Misa without a Chet, and Yisurim not as a result of Avin, because we find that four individuals indeed experienced Misa even though they had no chet that they committed. So once again, we prove that Shimon Lazar also agrees to this concept, because his view is reflected in this Braisa, which listed only four individuals, didn't list Moshe Ba'aron. And this indeed reflects the sheet of Shimon Lazar. And we see clearly that Misa can come even without chet, utyufta the Rav Ami tyufta. Indeed, this is a refutation of Shita's Rav Ami. Okay, a quick recap here. The Gemara proves that there is such a thing as Misa without Chet, but rather as a result of the general penalty of Misa applied to all humanity as a result of the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. We began with the first Braisa that told us that Moshe Ba'arin, Umeisu B'loi Chet, their Misa was not as a result of their misdeed, but rather the general Chet, the general Knas, the general event that occurs to all of humanity. We proceeded with Rishon Malazar, who told us that yes, Moshe Ba'aron bechet amesu, their misa was a result of their chet. And we concluded with the Braisa, who told us that there were four individuals that died below chet, but simply as a result of the et yit shel nachash, the chet of the Eitz Hadas, which came as a result of the advice of the nachash. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rav Shmo Bar Nachmani, Omar B'Yonison. The Gemara will proceed teaching us a very interesting lesson regarding several very righteous people, big tzaddikim, who in the Torah and Tanakh are described as having committed very severe averes, very grave sins. Gemara teaches us that it's not to be taken literally, but rather on account of their high madrega, even if they committed a very minor misdeed, which resembled those grave averes, those very severe averes, indeed the Torah regards them as having committed those great sins, but it's only on account of their high madrega. But practically speaking, certainly they never committed those averis on that very severe level. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Shmuel Rachmani, Omar Rav Yonasan. Kala Eimer, Reuven Chata, this is the first example, regarding Reuven, one of the Shvatim, there describes him as having committed Znus with Bila, the wife of his father. So one who takes it literally, Kala Eimer, Reuven Chata, is simply making a mistake. Shanemar, because the same pasuk which describes Reuven's chet by saying that Reuven came, Vayelach Reuven, Vayishkav, as Bila, Pelegesh Aviv, so he committed Znus with Bila, the wife of his father, and it says, Vayishma Yisrael. So Yaakov Avinu heard, and the pasuk concludes with the following words, Vayu bnei Yaakov shnei masa, the children of Yaakov, the sons of Yaakov were 12. What's the point of concluding with those words? Shenemar Vayu bnei Yaakov shnei masa, Malamit, it's coming to teach us. Shekulon shkulon kachas. That all of them, all 12 of them, including Reuven, are shkulon kachas. They're equated on one level, they're all tzaddikim. And certainly, this implies that Reuven never did znus, never committed this avera. Ella, if so, mani mekayim. How do I explain these words? Vayishkav is bila plegesh aviv. Says the Gemara, indeed he committed some misdeed, but it was a relatively minor misdeed. It resembles the concept of interfering with marital affairs, and therefore the Torah describes it as the chet of znus. So what indeed did he do? Malamed. He messed up the matzoy shalav, the bed of his father. As Mefarshim explained, what did Reuven do? This was after the passing of Rachel Imenu, when Yaakov transferred his bed out of the tent of Rachel and moved it over to the tent of Bilhah, who was the shivcha, the maid servant of Rachel. Now, when Reuven saw this, he wasn't happy. He felt it was inappropriate for Yaakov Avinu to transfer his bed to Bilhah, who was merely a shivcha, maid servant. It should have gone to the tent of his own mother, of Leah. Therefore, he wanted to defend the honor of his mother and to rearrange the beds. So he wanted to facilitate the removal of Yaakov's bed from Bilhah's tent. Some say he laid down on the bed to prevent Yaakov from using it. So he interfered with his father's marital affairs. And as a result, says the Gemara, Umalo levakosav, the Torah regards him ki'ilu shachav ima, as though he committed a chet, znus, with Bilhah. Simply as a result of his interfering with his father's marital affairs. So once again, we're not meant to take those words of Ayishkav literally. Tanya, Rav Shimon Lazar Eimer, Mutzul Oysid Tzadik. That Tzadik Reuven must be that he was separated, spared. He never got involved. He was safe from this type of sin. Certainly this act never came to his hands. He never committed this avera. How do I know that? I'll prove it to you. Efshar, can it be that Osid Zari, that is, children will stand La'amad al-Har Evil. Eventually they will stand on Har Evil, where the Klal Yisrael was standing and they announced the brachos and the klolos. So his own children will stand there and say, V'loimah Oror Shoichev Meshes Aviv. Cursed is one who will commit znus with Aisha as the wife of his father. Can it be that his own children will utter this curse on their own father? Can it be that they will say that after this chet will be committed by their own father? How would Hashem arrange that to be? It can't be. So it must be that it never took place. Ela mani mekayim. How do I understand these words? Vayishkav ez bila plegesh aviv. El imay tava. He meant to address to defend the honor of his mother, to redress the front of his mother. Amar, he said as follows: If the sister of my wife, meaning Rachel, was a rival to my mother, okay, I understand. So she was a sister, fine. So it makes sense. But Shivchas Achois Imi, the maidservant of my mother's sister, meaning Bilhah, who was the maidservant of Rachel, she too, Tehitzar Limi, she would considered to be a rival to my mother. I'm not glad that happened. So he was Tava Elbein Imoy. He demanded, he defended the Elbein, the affront, the embarrassment, the degradation of his mother. Omad, as a result, Bilbel, Omad, he got up a Bilbel's Matzah, and he mixed up the beds, he interfered, he disrupted the beds, Matzah, the of her bed, Bilah's bed, or referring to Yaakov's bed. In any case, he interfered with the marital affairs of his father, and that was his chet. Acheir Maimrim, others explain as follows. Shtei Matzah's Bilbel, not only did he disrupt one bed, but actually it was two beds. Achashel Shechina, one referring to the Shechina's spread, Vachashel Aviv, and the other one his father's. As Rashi explains, that prior to the building of the Mishkan, where was the Shechina to be found? The Shechina was Metzuya, was found Be'olei Tzadikim, in the tents of Tzadikim. As Rashi points out, that when Yaakov Avinu came home, how did he know which tent to enter? Simple, says Rashi. In the one that he saw the Shechina, that's where he went. So we see that the Shechina rested on Yaakov Avinu's bed, and when Reuven interfered, not only did he disrupt Yaakov Avinu's bed, but also the Shechina spread. Fine, Yechsev, that's the Pshat in the Pasuk, Oz Chilalta, Yitzui Ola. Yaakov is addressing Reuven, he's saying, you desecrated Yitzui Ola, the one that is Ola, the one that went on to my Yitzui. Yitzui Ola, the Shechina, which was Ola on my Yitzui, on my spread, on my bed. So once again, even though the Pasuk describes, seems to describe the tremendous, the severe chet of Znus that Reuven committed with Bilah, nevertheless, the Gemara maintains it's not to be taken literally. It's referring to a more minor chet of disrupting, messing up the bed of Yaakov Avinu. Says the Marki Tanoi, indeed it's a machlekes Tanoim, whether he indeed committed Znus or not. Says the Brice, Pachas Kamayim Al Teisa. Yaakov tells Reuven that Pachas Kamayim, on account of the hastiness of water, of the flowing water, since you acted in haste when you did that, Al Teisar, you will not have anything extra, you will not be Zeiche to profit, to have these extra things. You forfeited those bracha, those things. Rabbi Elazar Omer, that the word Pachas is actually an acronym of Rosh Tevis. Pachas is a pei, a ches, and a zayin. We're meant to expound as follows. Pazda, you were hasty. Chavta, you sinned. Zalta, you belittled. So indeed, according to Rabbi Elazar, he committed znus. Rabbi Shoimer, similarly, Rabbi Shoimer also maintains that he did the avera. Pasat al das. So this is the pei, the ches, and the zayin. Pei is pasat al das. He trampled on the law. Chotasa zanisa. So according to Bishua as well, there was a znus committed. However, the other shittas disagree, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, the pay, the ches, and the zayin is as follows. Pilalta, you davened to be saved from doing a chet. Chalta, this is a more severe form of davening, you entreated. Zorcha tfilascha, indeed your tfilah shone forth, and you were saved from doing a chet. Omer Gamliel, even though I dash in the pasuk in this manner, but it's still not conclusive. Perhaps the tefillah uttered by Reuven was after he did the chet. The tefillah was that Hashem should forgive him. So it's not really so clear. We need the additional clarity coming from Rabbi Elazar Madoy. Rabbi Elazar Madoy Omer, hafoiches hateva v'doyesha. We actually meant to reverse the word, the letters, instead of pei ches zayin. We meant to dash in as follows: zayin. Ches pe, Zion is izata. You trembled. Hirtata, you lurched back. Porcha chet mimcha, and the sin flew away from you. So indeed, Rabbi Elazar Madoy clearly dashes the pasuk to denote that there was no chet committed. So we have machlekes tanoim whether or not the znus was committed. Rav Amar, v'amar some say Rav Yemer Abba, that were meant to dash in the pasuk as follows. Again, the word pachas in reverse. Zayin, then ches, then pei. Zayin is zocharta, oinsha shadavar. Recall the punishment, which will result after this nos. And therefore, chalisa atzmacha chayli gadol. You restrained yourself to the point that you became sick. Pirashta milachta. You refrained from doing the chet. And indeed, according to this pshat as well, there was no chet committed. Continues the Gemara. So we have several descriptions of tzaddikim in situations where it appears they committed a severe chet, and the Gemara explained that it was not really so. We have Reuven that we just mentioned, and we have upcoming Bnei Eli, Bnei Shmuel, David, and Shlomo, and Yosef Sima. Continues the Gemara regarding the Bnei Eli. Omar Rav Shmuel Rachmeni, Omar Yosef. Kolo Eimer, Bnei Eli Chatu, one who maintains that the sons of Eli committed the chet of Znus, once again, Einoi Elotoy, he's making a simple mistake. Shenemar, as it says, Visham Shnei Bnei Eli, over there, Mishkan Shiloh, there were two sons of Eli, Chafni Pinchas, Kanan Hashem. And although the Pasuk, we'll bring soon a Pasuk which seems to describe their Chet of Znus, is not to be taken literally. Why? Sovel Karab, Rav Yonasan, who told us that they did not commit the Chet of Znus, he maintains, he holds like the Shita of Rav, who holds that Pinchas, so we have two sons, we have Chafni and Pinchas. Rav tells us that Pinchas certainly did not commit Znus. The Amar of Pinchas Loichat, he did not do the Aver of Znus. And therefore, Rav Yonason says that not only did Pinchas do the Chet, Chafni as well, because he is Makish Chafni and Pinchas. Because this Pasuk, just mentioned, Visham Shnei Bnei Eli, Chafni and Pinchas, Karan Hashem, this is an extra Pasuk. And it appears that the Pasuk is trying to teach us, we're meant to connect Chafni to Pinchas. And learn as follows. Ma Pinchas lechata, just as Pinchas did not commit the Aver of Znus, as the Gemara will prove later, Av Chafni lechata, same thing regarding Chafni, he did not do the Aver of Znus. So in conclusion, Rav Yonasan holds that both of them, Chafni and Pinchas, the sons of Eli, did not do the Aver of Znus. Elo, if so, Mani Mekayim, Ashe Yishkevon Es Anoshim. How do we explain the Pasuk, which tells us that they did commit Znus with the women? It means as follows. They committed some sort of a minor infraction, relatively minor infraction, but certainly not Znus. What it means is as follows. They delayed being marked of their birds, so the Bnei Eli would present all sorts of delays and obstacles. And those being karbanos, they still wait until they were able to extract meat from them. So they delayed the hakrava, and the women who came to be marked of their birds on account of etum of Leid or Ziva. So, they didn't have much confidence that the Kahanim will be makir their Kabbanas. They need to wait here. They need to linger until they actually saw their Kabbanas being brought to Mizbeach. So, as a result of the fact that Metoyuk Sheshow Eskineim, Sheshiu Eskineim, they delayed being makir of the Kinim, the birds of the women. Shloyocha Tzabalim, as a result, they couldn't go back home to their husbands. And they need to refrain from having relations with their husbands. Ma'ala alei and akasav, as a result of this infraction, the Torah regards them, the children of Eli, Chafni and Pinchas, who caused this, who brought this about, ki'ilu shach mazif, they committed znus with these women. They prevented them from going home, and they tied them, they held them up. So as though they took them, they women to themselves, as though they committed znus with them. But certainly it's not to be taken literally. Znus, actual znus, never was committed. Says the Gemara, Gufa, we just learned. Omar Rab, Pinchas Lechot. We know for a fact that Pinchas certainly didn't do the Aver of Znus. Shenemar, how do we know that? Because the Pasuk says, Va'achia ben Achitov, Achia the son of Achitov, Achia the brother of Ikovit, ben Pinchas, he was the son of Pinchas, ben Eliakoyen, he was the son of Pinchas, a grandson of Eliakoyen, and he served in the Mishkan. Says the Gemara, it can't be that Pinchas would have committed Znus and his son should be a serving coin. Efsha chet b'liyad, it can't be that a chet of Znus was committed by Pinchas. V'akos of Meyachse. And the Pasuk relates his son back to him and says, well, the son of Pinchas served in the Mishkan. V'alei kvarnama, the Pasuk says, Yachris Hashem l'ish. Hashem will cut off to this person, Asher Yaseno, who will commit Znus. Hashem will cut off. Will not allow him to have a descendant. What does this mean? If this person who transgresses is Yisrael, lo yelo, he will not have descendants of Erba Chachamim, who have sharpness amongst the Chachamim. Lo yelo, the Talmidim will not have ability to answer by the Talmidim. Im kainu, if the one who transgresses is a kain, lo yelo ben magish mincha, will not have a son, which will serve a mincha to Hashem. So apparently, it's obvious that Pinchas did not commit znus from the fact that his son served in the Mishkan. Ella lashma, we know it's apparent raya that Pinchas lechot, indeed, he did not do the Aver of Znus. So this is the first assertion that Pinchas we established that he did not do the Avera. And the Rav Shmuel Rachmeni told us in the name of Yonason that based on this premise, we know that Hophni as well did not do an Avera because the Pasuk connects the two. So that's his opinion that both children did not do the Avera of Znus. Then we'll proceed and tell us that there's another opinion that although Pinchas didn't do it, but Hophni did. Says the Gemara, Lahoksiv, Ashi Yishkevon. So if Pinchas didn't do the Avera, why does the Pasuk say in a plural term, they did Znus with the women? Yishkevon Ksiv. We're meant to read it Yishkevon as a Ksiv, even though we read Yishkevon, but the Ksiv, we look at the Ksiv, the way it's spelled, it is spelled in a way that we can read it, that we can understand it in a Lashon Yach, in a singular term, Yishkevon. So it's referring only to one of them, to Hophni. V'Ksiv, Al Bonai, Kilei Tov Ashmua, Eli is chastising them on account of the bad rumors, and referring to both of them, Al Bonai. Apparently they both did a misdeed, Amar Nachma Yitzhak, B'ni Ksiv. The wording, when we look at the ksiv, the letters, it can be understood as b'ni, singularly. So, this was directed at Hophni, not at Pinchas. V'ksiv ma'virim, they caused them to transgress. So we see once again, a lashon rabim, referring to both of them, Amar Avuna, Shom ma'virom ksiv. Again, we look at the wording and the letters, and it can be understood in a lashon yachid. Ma'virom, only referring to one of them, to Hophni. V'ksiv b'nei b'liyal, they're both wicked, B'nai Belial, and as Masha points out, that Belial we find in relation to Znos. So the Pasuk refers to them as B'nai Belial, as wicked, Mitoich, Shehoi Loi LePinchas Limchais LeFchafni. Since Pinchas should have been Moichet, should have criticized Chafni on his Avera, V'loi Micha, and refrained from doing so, Malal HaKosav Kilachata, to regard him as well as having committed the Aver of Znus, even though practically speaking, he never committed the Aver of Znus. So in summary, we began with Reuven, and we had a machlekes of whether or not he actually committed the Aver of Znus. According to Rabbi Lezer, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, yes, there was a Znus. According to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer Medoi, there was no Aver of Znus, but rather merely interfering with the arrangements, with the bedroom arrangements of his father. Regarding Hophni and Pinchas, the Gemara tells us that they degraded the mevazek kachim, they delayed the akrav of the karbanos. But what about actual maaseh znus? So according to Rav Yonason, none of them actually committed these znus. However, according to Rav, it appears that although Pinchas never did the chet of znus, but Hophni was indeed guilty, and the Gemara concluded that although Pinchas didn't actually commit it, but he was held accountable somewhat since he could have been Moichah, he could have offered reproof to Hophni, and he refrained to do so. Therefore, he is lumped together with Hophni in the same pasuk of Bnei Belial. Okay, time for a brief chazor on today's daf. The Gemara began by telling us the tremendous responsibility that lies on the shoulders of one who has the ability to offer Teichacha reproof, to establish justice. For instance, the Av Beis Din, Beis David, who should judge the oppressors, and by refraining from doing so, they receive punishment because they're achroi, they're responsible for the misdeeds of their generation. The Gemara told us regarding the tzaddikim in Yerushalayim initially, Hashem meant to spare them, but then eventually he retracted that gzeirat tova. Why? Because they refrained from exercising their obligation to offer teichacha to the Rishayim. The Gemara proceeded with Rav Ami, who told us that Misa can only come as a result of Chet Yisurim, only as a result of Ava, and the Gemara refuted that and proved that no, Misa is a Knas, a decree, a phenomenon, an event applied to all of humanity as a result of the Chet of Eitz Hadas. Similarly, Yisurim afflictions can befall a person even if he didn't do Ava, and for instance, Yisurim Shel Ava. And finally, the Gemara concludes that although we find sometimes very grave sins attributed to great tzaddikim, but not necessarily are those descriptions meant to be taken literally.